Well, we have a bright future. Now you got all the other themes down now, and now you know what we're teaching on as a series, and what the year theme is, and so that's good. It's a funny thing, you'll find, doesn't matter if somebody has a good memory, or if they take good notes or anything, the hardest thing in the world to remember is what was preached on Sunday, or what you read in your Bible. And there's a reason for that. The Bible says the devil comes and steals a seed away. You'll remember what you watch on TV, or remember what happened at work, but what you got in the Bible, you'll have an incredibly hard time remembering. It might have blessed you, you might have learned from it, you might have paid good attention, but there's a supernatural element to that. And so you got to be careful to remember. And so that's why I put the memory verses on the same theme sometimes. That's why we sing songs on the same theme sometimes, because we got to get you to remember it, because it's hard to remember. And so, all right. Dave, if you can open those blinds in the back there, that'd be great. Genesis 18, and we're going to read kind of a lengthy passage. A bright future. Today is the bright future. The Lord can do anything. You have a bright future because the Lord can do anything. Verse 1, the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, there three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them at the tent, from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Yet a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. How many of you have been in Seattle over 10 years? Right, Jen? Almost all of you? All right, let me preach at you for a minute about a sin I know you have, because you're a Seattleite. Biblically, and it's not coffee, but biblically, so you can really relax, and I'm not going to make you have jitters. And most of the places in the world, people are hospitable. Okay? People in Seattle are in their little bubble, and why are you saying hi to me, and don't dare think you can come to my house and even come inside my house. I have that. Did you know when I go to Haiti, or when I go to wherever we're going on a mission trip this year, be it Honduras, Mexico, Center, wherever I go, it doesn't matter. Did you know people with very little food will invite me into their house and feed me their very little food, and they don't have a prospect of a lot of food in the future? It's called hospitality. Some Americans have it. The South has it. Southern hospitality. They'll feed you. They'll stuff you full. They'll kill you with their food. It's all grease, but they'll feed you. And Southerners will do that. And biscuits and gravy and deep fried everything and weird foods you don't even know what they are. They are like okra and jambalaya and all things like that are mysterious food that they can't even explain. They will do that still in the South. But Seattle is the worst area probably on the planet for people being hospitable. It's bad. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. I understand. I'm a Northwesterner. I understand. When people say hi to me, I don't want to say hi back. I don't know why. It's just built in our nature. We are not hospitable. We don't invite people in. We don't feed them. All that stuff like that. But it's biblical. The Bible says be careful to entertain strangers. That means to take them in and feed them and be social with them, be kind to them, and do all that stuff. We got it easy in Seattle. The only thing you have is coffee. Just you want a cup of coffee, pour them a cup of coffee and give them your special creamer that you have, but you're supposed to do that. Immediately Abraham saw these men and said, "Come into my house. Let's feed you. Let's wash your feet. Let's take care of you." I say that understanding how hard it is for us, but it is biblical. Don't be unsocial. If somebody invites you out to eat, it's rude to say no, unless there's some very extenuating circumstances. So that's the Bible says to do that stuff. So no amens, but that's still in the Bible. And said, verse 3, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away." First time I met Southerners was my pastor and his wife. She's from Alabama. And he was from Tennessee and Arkansas. And man, I, I, It was so weird. Every time I was nearby, or I just come by and have a quick question, always invite me in, always start stuffing me full of food. And she always told me, "You're starving, boy. Nobody feeds you." Then she found out that nobody cooked for me, and I lived on minute rice, cereal, and toast. And she found that out, and then she was always trying to get me to eat her food. So I thought it was a totally different culture, and always sweet tea. It's good to see that social thing. It's good to get that. And I don't have it, but I want you to have it. Verse 4. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree, and I'll fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your hearts after that ye pass on, for therefore ye come to your servant. And they said, "So do as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened to the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make 3 cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto the young man, and he hasted to dress it. He went and killed a baby calf. Can I have some veal, right? Is it veal? Is that what it is? Okay. And killed his animal. And he took butter and milk. By the way, you didn't go to Safeway to get the butter. You made it. It was a lot of work. And milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and stood by them under a tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee concerning the time of life." By the way, he was entertaining Jesus. He had Jesus come to his house, but he may not have known that. And the Bible says that's why you be careful, because you might be, many people have taken care of angels not knowing it. And said, "I will certainly return," verse 10, "according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard at the tent door which is behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?' At that time, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have the son." And Sarah denied, saying, "I laugh not," for she was afraid. And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." And so we see here, of course, Sarah and Abraham, and were already well stricken age. She had already went past the time when she could bear children. She already knew that. And they were very old, and God said, "You're going to have kids." And I was at my mother-in-law's wedding, and she was remarried after she was widowed, and she was 60. I guess she was 60, 61, and he was about that age, maybe a year or two younger. And they asked me to do the toast, and I said, "May you have the blessing of Sarah and Abraham and have a child in your old age." And they went, "Burr!" That was pretty... Pretty funny to see the look on their face when I said that. But all right, let's have a word of prayer. We'll talk about, is anything too hard for the Lord? Father, thank you for the word of God, and I pray we just have hope in our bright future. You'd speak to our hearts and give us wisdom in the word of God. And thank you for your scripture, Lord, and thank you for all it tells us, and thank you for the hope that we can have in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Why do you have a bright future? Because nothing is too hard for your God. Anything you're going to need, he can do. I do not think we do a good job of believing that. I think the problem lies in the faith, not in the power of God. We are good believers in miracles for others, and not real good at believing in miracles for ourselves. We have great faith when we go to somebody else's problems and say God can do that. We don't have great faith in our own lives. And it's a strange... By the way, the devil doesn't mind you having great faith for somebody else. He's worried about you having faith and seeing God work in your life. We don't believe God can do great things, and we don't believe that it's anything too hard for the Lord. The Lord just says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is it that big a deal for me to let you have a baby in that age? Hey, someday a virgin is going to conceive and bear a child. It's not a big deal. Is anything too hard for the Lord?" That gives you a bright future. If you have big things in your life that you want to happen, I hope. If you don't, then you need to get some passion in your life for things of God. There are people you should want to see saved. There are people you should want to see transformed. There are miracles that you need in your own life. If you don't have any of those, then you're not looking very hard. There's victories that you need in your life. And the worst thing you can do is get settled into, well, this is never going to happen. I'm never going to be a great Christian. This person's never going to get saved. What a scary thing that is when people do that. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I am excited about the future. I believe we have a bright future. I've been excited when the church was small. Those who've been here for a very long time, like Jess, can tell you, we were saying God's going to do something big when there was almost nobody here. We believe that. We have a bright future as a church. Are we in a hard area? Yes, we're in a very hard area. Am I the most talented and charismatic guy? Yes. I mean, no. No, I am not. And I know that. I know my weaknesses. I know my things I'm not good at. I am not good at a lot of things. If you said, Pastor, I want to tell you a few things that you need to do better, I would say, I'll go ahead and tell them to you. I already know them. I am very real with myself, and I know who I am. And if God does anything greater, it's not going to be because I'm some incredible organizer or charismatic speaker or handsome or anything else. It's not going to be because of any of those things. But I believe God's going to do a big thing because nothing's too hard for God. I believe God can bring revival. I think God can change Seattle. I think we can make the Northwest the new Bible Belt, and then I can go to everybody's house and eat. I believe God can do that still. And Tony, you told me that all that's fake. The Southerners are all faking that hospitality. They don't like you actually in reality. That's what Tony told me, but maybe that's him talking and what he felt like when he was a Southerner. My pastor was like that. Don't tell me that because I want to think they really like me and want to feed me. And it makes me keep going there. That's why I go on missions trips anyway. I believe God can do big things. I believe God can change us there. And I believe God can save those souls. I've seen God save so many souls. And there are people in church today who are so unlikely. And I so often want to tell you the whole story of who's in church. It's amazing. I literally, as Sunday school is getting ready to start, I literally looked at another room and thought, how many people in this room were suicidal, drug addicted, or I visited them in jail? In this room right now in Sunday school. And that's amazing. And you know what? I've seen too many lives transform not to believe that we have a bright future, that God can do that work and that God can do miracles. And I see people get cynical sometimes. Well, you don't know them like I know them. Well, I don't, but God does. And you don't know the people I've seen transformed, and you don't know what I was like. And by the way, you don't know what the Apostle Paul was like. You have hope, and you believe in a bright future. You believe God can do big things. Whenever I read in a biography or an autobiography or something of somebody who did something great in history, it doesn't matter who I'm reading about. If I read about Luther or Mueller or Whitfield, or it doesn't matter who I'm reading about, you will find out. There was a lot of skeptics who said this can't be done. And there was somebody who believed God could do anything. And it was great. It increases your faith as you read those things of people doing great things because you realize that nothing's too hard for the Lord. So a few things here. First of all, is anything too hard for the Lord to bring an unbelievable blessing? An unbelievable blessing. Sarah and Abraham always wanted to have kids. Sarah couldn't have kids. And by the way, when you get married, when you're whatever they were, let's say 25, I don't know how old they were when they got married, and you're 85, you haven't had one yet, you're getting pretty pessimistic. when you hit your 90s, you know, the nursing home delivery thing is not very common. And she laughed. They said, she's going to have a baby. And Sarah's like, poof. And God says, don't laugh. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Sarah and Abraham had a baby in that late age. They wanted a child. They're frustrated with it. She was frustrated with it. Women can get very insecure when they can't have a baby. And she was so desperate, she gave him her handmaiden. And then after that, nothing. So she knew the problem was with her because the handmaiden had a baby very quickly. And then she laughs in her old age when it was all over with, and yet is anything too hard for the Lord? The big blessing they wanted happened. He was 100 and she was 90. And uh, And is anything too hard for the Lord? And a big blessing can happen. Hey, the blessing you need in life, the big thing you want to change your life, the thing you need. And here's the thing, is because of our lack of faith, we narrow our thinking of what can happen, and we settle in to mediocrity in our life, thinking this is never going to happen. I might as well not even pray about it. You're crazy. Sometimes God wants to wrestle with you for a few years. It took a long time with Sarah and Abraham, but the blessing is there. And the blessing can happen. And you can be the great thing person you want to be. Your spouse can be that great thing you want them to be. The thing you dream of happening in your life that would be a big blessing. God can do that. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Psalms 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Hey, there's blessings your heart wants. There's things you want to happen in your life. And God says, if you'll delight yourself in me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. And when you put God first and really fall in love with him and believe he can do things and say, Lord, I want this thing. I want to put it in your hands and pray about it and then work on pleasing God and serving God. And you keep praying about that thing. God can do that miracle that you always dreamed of and you always want and that would always make you happy. It can still happen. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is it too hard for the Lord to bring an unbelievable blessing? Boy, if God said to you, like he said to people in the Bible, command ye me. If you thought about it for a while, and barring just the selfish or immoral things you might want, but I mean things that are good and things that are blessing and things that would be make you happy and joyful and the desires of your heart, what would you want? You may have given up on that, but don't give up on it. God says he can do that thing. You don't have to see it right now. It doesn't have to happen in your timing. And by the way, Sarah and Abraham lived for a long time, and they got to enjoy their son and see that their son was going to multiply as stars of heaven. And God helped him find a wife and everything. Why? Because God wanted to bless Abraham. God is for Abraham. The Lord will give you the desires of your heart. God can give you the blessing you want. Now, he might say no on certain things that aren't good for you or whatever, and you might not want but you know what? The blessing you want, the blessing you desire, the blessing that God can give, God is anything to offer the Lord. God can do anything, so you can be optimistic knowing God can do this. And a good God and loving Heavenly Father, just like me as a loving father to my kids, I'm either going to give them what they want. Now, in my case, I'm limited. Some things they want, I can't afford. Some things I want to do for them, I can't do for them. God doesn't have that limitation. The only other reason I wouldn't give my kids something is because it's not good for them. Okay? Otherwise, I'm going to get them anything they want. Because I love them. I want them to be happy. I want them to be blessed. I want to be a good father. I want to be a father who has happy children. Now, some things aren't good for them, and I won't give them to them. But you know, the truth is, I want to give them good things. And if the Bible says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask? God wants to bless you. He may have to say no on some things that are bad for you, and he knows what's best for you. Your kids don't know what's best for them. You don't always know what's best for you. And even Paul, one time God said no. But most of the time, God said yes. But you believe God, and he can bring you an unbelievable blessing. Go to God and say, Lord, do you know how bad I want this thing? Lord, please do this thing. And keep on praying, keep on praying. And God knows how to tell you no. He told Paul no. And I'll tell my children no. And if I don't get a no from God, I keep praying about it. I keep praying about it. God usually says, he says yes, no, or grow. And that's what God says. Sometimes it's not right now. Abraham, it wasn't right then, but he's going to do it. And he said yes. So God can bring you an unbelievable blessing. Number two, is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord can do anything. He can bring you an unbelievable blessing, but it can also save a soul. He can also save a soul. This becomes very doubtful even in Bible times of people. Matthew 19 and verse 26 or 25, when the disciples heard it, they said they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus said unto them, beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. He says, hey, salvation's a miracle. Man, I am so excited about who will be in church this morning. I mean, just who we know will be in church. There might be some miracles we don't know about. But I'm excited about impacts that we will have. We have right now in the room. It is such a miracle that I am in church, let alone the pastor. I laugh at Paul. Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'm the chief sinner in the world. And then he also says, you know, the amazing thing is, I'm not the least. I've done more than any apostle. That's what Paul says. And he says, I'm the chief of sinners. Never have a doubt about who God can save. Boy, hardened people. I got a call two days ago from Della, the chaplain across the street. And she said, I'm out of town and I've got two people dying. And one's a Christian and one's a very, 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 very nasty, very hard atheist. You might not want to even go there. And they're both passing away. And he's very obnoxious. He's very hard. He's very mean. He's very cold. And she said, I won't blame you at all if you don't go there. Turns out that by the time I got there, the nursing home had already called another church and went there. But I was going to that guy's room. Would he have gotten saved? I have no idea, but I know he might. I've seen some pretty hard cases get saved. And I've seen some pretty cold people. And some of you, a lot of people, if you met from your youth and your teenage years who knew that you were sitting in church today, they'd be pretty shocked. That's what God can do. That's what God can do. And it's a wonderful thing because God said, I can save sinners. With men, this is impossible. Who can be saved? But with God, all things are possible. And God can save anybody. The greatest illustration, I think, in the Bible is the Apostle Paul. He is a Jew. He is a Pharisee of Pharisees. The Pharisees are bad enough. The Pharisees had Jesus murdered. I mean, who is worse than the Pharisees? They went around all the time trying to entrap him in his words so they could kill him. That was the Pharisees. They brought people into him and tried to put him in situations where they could find him with someone. And that he was one of them. And he says, I'm the Pharisee of Pharisees. Not only that, he was zealous to kill the Christians. I mean, can you imagine the worst God hater of all? The person who is a blasphemer. Let me read you a verse, 1 Timothy 1:13. And Paul just says it better than I could say it. He is the least likely to be saved. Verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who before was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. A lot of us have got some pretty bad memories, pretty bad thoughts, pretty bad remembrance of things we've done. But I don't really got remembrance of watching Christians being murdered because I put them up to it. And watching families being hauled away and dads being killed and watching a man who's preaching the gospel being stoned with rocks because I put people up to it. I don't have those memories. And yet Paul knew the grace of God is so powerful, he walked around saying, God has completely forgiven me and has put me in the ministry and I'm an apostle. And I'm writing scripture. See, it's a strange thing. We say, yeah, that's amazing. We hear about a jail conversion. We say, that's awesome. When we hear about a drug dealer getting saved, and we say, praise the Lord. And we are thanking God for all those things. But I find it gets very limited in the faith when it gets to your mom, your brother, your uncle, because you know them. And you know just how bad they are. I understand that. I understand that type of thinking. And I've got a few of those in my own life. But this morning in church will be somebody who used to go behind us when we used to invite people to church, who used to go behind us and tell people not to come to our church or a terrible church. They'll be in church this morning. See, God's amazing. And he can save anybody if you'll pray and you'll stick with it. He can save anybody. There's hope for them getting saved. There's hope for those hard relatives. And I'm not saying it happens quickly. It usually doesn't. It usually happens with them watching you for about a decade and seeing if what you have is real. And by the way, I'm 22 years in, or I'm 25 years in with some of my relatives working on them still. I have a stubborn family. I'm the only one who isn't stubborn. We have a stubborn family. And by the way, some of them we've made progress, and some we haven't. But you know what? I believe that God can save all of them. I've got one relative in my immediate family that I think if he gets on fire for God, I think everybody else will follow. And he's the one I focus on in prayer. Now, he's not going to church, doesn't go to church, doesn't like religion. But I think if he gets saved, I think the rest of them are going to end up in church. And I believe that God can do that. I believe that God can do that. Hey, believe God can do it. I know they might mock you. I know they might be making fun of you. But you know what? You'll be surprised when they get saved or they come and apologize to you and how that God can do that. What a sad thing when someone quits believing in God's ability to draw and save someone. Is anything too hard for the Lord? With God, all things are possible. The Lord can save anybody. And there's lots of illustrations in history, lots of conversions that were the least likely. And it's great that God can do that. Number three, we have a bright future because God can do anything. He can rebuild any mess. He can rebuild any mess. Jeremiah 32. And another God saying, nothing's too hard for me. Of course, Israel being destroyed and scattered, and God told them you're going to be desolate and everything else. Jeremiah is the weeping prophet in the dark book of destruction. I mean, and in that, God becomes with hope. By the way, we sing something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him is brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. And God can fix the messes we get in. And Jeremiah 32, verse 15, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, I prayed to the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showed loving kindness unto thousands and recompense iniquity of the fathers and the bosom of the children after them. The great, the mighty God, Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel, mighty in work, for thine eyes are upon all the ways of the sons of man, to give to everyone according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. You've shown signs and wonders. Verse 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? And the context here is God said, I'm going to rebuild Jerusalem. I'm going to rebuild Israel. You're going to be scattered for a while, but you're going to come back. And I'm going to bless this nation. It's going to be rebuilt. And Jeremiah says, Lord, is there anything too hard for you? And Moses says, there's nothing too hard for me. Hey, Israel had made a mess by idolatry, generation after generation after generation. And God punished them some, punished them more, punished them more, punished them more. Finally scattered them all around the world. But he says, I'm going to bring this land, and this land's going to be fruitful again, even though it was destroyed right then and burned down. He said, the nation's going to be blessed. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Let me just explain to you something that I do regularly and that happens in people's lives regularly. And the way that I deal with things is people can make incredible messes out of their lives. I mean, boy, they tangle it up. You ever talk to somebody and they start telling you their problems and they start telling you just how bad they got it and how bad they messed it up and how much of a mess they made? I mean, and you just have to wait to say, you made a mess. I don't know how we make such messes. It's not like we just do one bad thing and have one consequence. We compound it. We tie a knot in that extension cord and then we pull the knot as tight as we can and tie about 20 more. That's what we do with our lives. And here's what I've seen in life is sometimes somebody will make such a mess, such a disaster out of a life that I don't know what to do. And I tell you, I've been doing this for a little while with messed up lives. That's my specialty, is messed up situations. And I know how to dig out of debt, and I know how to fix your relationship with your family, and I know how to do a lot of things. I've learned how to undo and fix things. But sometimes they just start going, and I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. You sure have dug a hole and threw the dirt back on yourself, and you're in trouble. But here's what I always find. When I do not know a way and I don't see a possible way, I mean, somebody will come and they'll have been, I mean, they'll have ruined their family by breaking the law and lost their job, and now they got a criminal record, and now they're so in debt, and now they can't even get a job to dig themselves out of debt. I mean, there are so many things in the process where they've got so many things wrong, it looks impossible. But here's, can I just tell you the hope of that? Very simple. when someone puts God first and starts serving him, I don't know how it happens, but something will happen to work it all out. Nothing's too hard for God. Israel dug such a mess that they were literally slaves and thrown around the world. Their land was burnt down. It was destroyed and looked like they're just going to disappear as a nation because there's nobody left to breed in the country because they're all destroyed except for the sickly and children and old people. And then the people who were, the rest of them were healthy or had any skill or anything were scattered around the world. And what always happens is they just begin to interbreed with the people there and they disappear. It looked like there'd be no nation anymore. Yeah, that was 600 BC, and Israel is a very strong nation right now. Why? Because God just said, and I don't understand how it happened. I don't understand how Israel became a nation again. It makes no sense. Read the history of Israel in the 30s and 40s, and you have to believe in God. There's no way that nation who is going, by the way, not only were they scattered everywhere, they weren't together as a nation. They weren't speaking the same language. But there was a Holocaust going on trying to eliminate them. And the people trying to eliminate them owned the continent. Okay? And 3 years later, they're in their country as a nation, thriving. I don't know how it happened. And you can say, Pastor, I messed up my life so bad. My family won't talk to me anymore. I can't do this. I can't do that. And you got a mess. And I understand. You might have a real legitimate mess. But your mess isn't bigger than God. And God can rebuild any situation. And you can give me a shattered piece of glass, and I can say, I don't think we can fix it. But you go to God with any shattered life, and God says, okay, just start serving me. And you say, well, how? I don't know how. Matter of fact, I can't even make up a scenario how. I just know it'll happen. If you seek God's kingdom first, and you will be faithful to God, even if you don't see a way for your life to be blessed ever again, it'll happen. I don't know how. Because God has the ability. You just got to start serving God. He can rebuild any mess, so you have a bright future in that. Number four, God is able to save us out of any trouble. Out of any trouble. And there's a lot of verses on this, but Psalms 46. Psalms 46. Verse 1, it says, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried, into the midst of the sea. By the way, last point, rebuild a mess and say, well, this is the mess I made. That was the mess Israel made in Jeremiah. And therefore, we will not fear, because God's a very present help in trouble, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. He says the whole earth and the mountains can be shaking and all the mountains be carried in the middle of the sea. Imagine that. Hey, look, there goes Mount Rainier off into the Pacific. He says, though that happens, he says, we're not going to fear because God's a present help in any kind of trouble. Great illustration of this is Israel coming out of Egypt. How are we going to get out of Egypt? I don't know. They come out. But you know what one of the most amazing things is when God wants to show himself strong in your life, he puts you from one trouble to the next. It's a funny thing. It's like, Lord, deliver me. And then all of a sudden, like, yes, the Lord deliver me. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I just got out of one mess. What am I going to do now? God wants to show you several times in a row. He brings him out of Egypt with a strong arm and a stretched out hand, he says. And then they get to the Red Sea and say, we have nowhere to go, and here comes Pharaoh with all his chariots, and we're not ready to fight. Boy, talk about a troublesome situation, a troubled place. Talk about a situation, a place where you're saying, I can't. I don't see any solution to this thing. Red Sea in front, Pharaoh with chariots behind us. It's bad. But God is able to deliver you out of any trouble. He's a very present help in time of trouble. If you don't panic and say, Lord, I'm in trouble, I need your help, and you pray about it, you can find God to deliver to you. Deliver you. The Lord is able to save at any kind of trouble. There are so many people in so much trouble in the Bible. It's a book full of troubles and God coming through for them. But you know what? Life is full of troubles in our lives today too. We got a troubled world. But you know what? The good thing is you can be an optimist. You can have hope. Why? Because God can deliver out of any kind of trouble. And we make trouble and life has troubles and the world has troubles. That's okay. Believe God and believe he can do anything. Because we just said a whole bunch of things. God said, the Lord, is anything too hard for me? Nothing's impossible with God. But the Bible does limit. And one thing he said, he used the word impossible. And he says this, which was your memory verse a while back. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. You cannot. And the problem isn't God still can't do anything. The problem is our faith. That same God's your God still. Believe him that he can take care of your life, fix your life, fix your problems. You don't need to panic. Just trust God. He can make something wonderful out of your life. You got a bright future. You got a bright future because you got a big God. And nothing's too hard for him. And I always see people who stay faithful, stay faithful, stay faithful to God, and keep on praying about these things. God blesses them in the end, and nothing's too hard for him. Nothing's too hard for the Lord, and they're blessed. And he can save anybody and fix any situation. So you got a bright future, and so do I. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that nothing's too hard for you. Thank you that you can do all things. Thank you with God. All things are possible. And I pray, Lord, that we would know that and see that and live that. And I pray, Lord, in faith, we'd believe that you can fix any mess. I pray that we would rest in you. I pray, believe for the people who need saved around us. And believe that you can fix our lives and fix our messes and help us in trouble. Lord, there's such a great thing to know. There is nothing too hard for you. And give us the blessing, Father, like you did Sarah and Abraham. When Sarah laughed, you said, why are you laughing? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Lord, how can we doubt you, the same God who gave at 190 a couple a baby? Thank you, Lord, that you're the same God who lives inside of us. Help us to realize the bright future we have because of the God that can take care of us. And we praise you for your word that promises these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks for coming today. We'll